This morning we're going to consider again about soul winning. Our thoughts have been on soul winning for the past few weeks, and last week we talked about making His will ours. And we talked about how that Jesus said, well, it's not the Father's will that one of these little ones should perish. And we know that when Jesus came, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. It was His objective to bring all that the Father had given Him to Himself. And as I was thinking about this week, and as I was going through my devotions, I came across 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4, and I thought a little bit about the opposition that Paul faced. And how even though the Jews stoned him, left him for dead, and hated him, still yet he would say, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. He would still say, I would wish myself a curse for Israel's sake. A curse from God for Israel's sake. So even though the children of Israel rejected Paul, he still had a desire to see them saved. And as I thought about that, I thought about Paul's ministry. How did he continue in the ministry? Why did he have the heart of an evangelist? Why was his heart so turned? Why did he have such a desire for the people of Israel? Today, that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at Paul's heart. And how that Paul had a desire to see the children of Israel saved. And hopefully it'll help us to look at our hearts. And help us to have a desire to see those little sheep that we talked about last week. See them brought into the fold. Remember, it's not the Lord's will that one of the little ones should perish. And none of His people are going to perish. Jesus again said, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. And so we know that Jesus is going to bring His sheep into the fold. But it requires the heart of an evangelist. It desires a heart that is seeking the Lord. So here, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 1 through 7. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we thank not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look into your word today, we just pray that you'll help us to find out Paul's heart. Find what it is that you did in Paul's heart that enabled him to have a heart to seek others. God, I pray that you'll help us to develop that same heart today. A heart that seeks the salvation of your sheep to bring them into the fold. Just thank you for your son, Jesus. He's what makes it all possible. It is in his name we pray. Amen. The first thing we want to look at is from verse number 1, and it says there in verse number 1 that Paul had recognized his ministry. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. So Paul understood that he had a ministry that was given to him from God. What we know and understand is that Paul experienced God's call. Now let's go to the book of Acts in chapter number 9. Hold your place there in 2 Corinthians because we're going to be there. Most of the message is from there. But in Acts chapter number 9, Paul came and he met the Lord. This is where Jesus appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road. Verse number three, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined about round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And so, what happened to Paul was he met the Lord. He met Jesus. And I want to tell you this, that when you meet Jesus, it makes an impact in your life. When you meet Jesus, it changes your life. When you meet Jesus, it changes the scope of your life. Paul had a desire to go out and kill those who were the followers of Jesus. Now, Paul has a desire to seek the Lord and to seek the Lord's people. I want you to understand something today. If you're going to develop an evangelist heart, it's going to be because that you've met the Lord. And when you have met the Lord, it does make a changing in your life. There is no doubt about that. So Paul had experienced the calling of the Lord. If you go to Acts chapter number 9, you see that Paul had a zeal. And you understand that he went about doing the work of the Lord. Verse number 20 says, And straightway he preached Christ in a synagogue that he is the Son of God. I want you to think about that. Paul had a conversion. He met the Lord, and that conversion brought about zeal. He went about seeking the Lord and seeking the Lord's people and preaching the gospel. But I also want you to notice that Paul had a perseverance. Later on in Paul's life, Paul continued in the Lord's work. He had a perseverance. Listen, calling brings about perseverance. Conversion brings about zeal. The calling brings about perseverance. Now, I want you to think about this. When you're newly saved, you have this zeal. You have the desire to go and tell everybody you know about Jesus. And you want everyone to know of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And you have a great zeal. And somewhere along the line, that zeal wanes. Somewhere along the line, you're not as excited as you once were about this new birth that has taken place in your life. You know, think about this. For those of you that have children, are you excited about your child's life today as you were then? Especially that first child. You remember when that first child comes and there's that joy and there's that exuberance and there's an excitement and all of that? You know, that kind of wanes, doesn't it? There's no longer that joy that you had when that child was first born. Does that mean you don't love your child anymore? No, it just means that you love your child differently. It means the excitement is gone. Now, throughout your life, they'll bring other excitement, but just because you don't have that same emotion that you had on the first day they were born doesn't mean that you don't love your child anymore. Actually, by you persevering in your love for your child, you may love them more today than you did the first day they were born. Because you have proven through the perseverance of love and the perseverance of your working in their life, you have proven how much you love them. Well, the same thing's true about the Lord. When you're newly converted, you have this zeal, you have this excitement upon your conversion. And then that wanes. And you fall into what is called perseverance. And you're just continuing to follow the Lord. You're just continuing to walk with the Lord. You no longer have that youthful zeal and exuberance that you once had. That doesn't mean that you don't love the Lord. That means that you love the Lord. Your faithful continuance, your perseverance, proves that you love the Lord. Here's one thing that we understand about Paul, is that Paul understood he had a ministry, understood that he had a calling of God, he knew that he had met the Lord, and because he had met the Lord, he continued to walk with the Lord. It's why we continue to walk with the Lord. It's because that we know that we have been converted. It's because we know that we have met the Lord. Listen, why would we continue to be faithful to the Lord and follow after Him if we didn't truly love Him. And so it is that faithful perseverance that proves to us. Do you know that having that persevering heart is how to have the heart of an evangelist? It's not to be worried, upset, and confused over a lack of zeal, but it's just continual, faithfully serving the Lord. That's what Paul had. A continual, faithful serving of the Lord. Paul knew that he had experienced God's call. God's call. If you go back to our text, or go to Acts chapter 13, we also know that Paul was given a ministry. He had experienced God's call, but he also knew that he was given a ministry. Acts 13:1 said, "Now there was in the church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.'" Paul knew that he had a ministry that was given to him of God. He knew what God had for him. He knew the life that God had chosen for him. He preached to the Jews. Then later on, he turned to the Gentiles, verses 44 through 49. But Paul knew the ministry that he had been given by God. He knew what his life's calling was. And he was willing to do that. That's why Paul had a heart of evangelism. As he knew that he had met the Lord, he knew that he had been converted, he had experienced God's call, and he knew the ministry that he had. Paul's focus was on those that believed, those that would believe. He wanted to reach out. So Paul knew his ministry and his calling. But second of all, we find out about Paul, he knew mercy. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 1. I'll tell you this, that when you know the calling of God upon your life, it makes it easy for you to walk with Him. I'm not going to say it makes it easy, but at least you know you're going where He wants you to go. You're doing what He wants you to do. You're where He wants you to be in your life. You know God's calling for you. So Paul said, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not." See, Paul knew that he had mercy, and that mercy was the driving force in his life. The mercy that Paul received was the mercy that Paul shared. Let's remember what mercy is. Remember, mercy is not getting what you deserve. So as Paul looked at his life, Paul knew what he deserved. Paul knew that he deserved a devil's hell because of what he had done. Paul knew that he should have suffered at the hand of God. I smell it too. I don't know where it's coming from. Paul knew that he had received mercy, and that mercy was the driving force in his life. Here's what we need to understand. If we are going to follow after the Lord, it's going to be because we understand we have mercy. And we're going to share that mercy. Mercy was the driving force of Paul's life. So let's think about this. If we're going to continue to be an evangelist and have an evangelistic heart, it is going to be because of mercy. Now let's go to the next part. So Paul recognized, first of all, his ministry, he recognized his calling, and he knew that mercy was the driving force of his life. But what I really want us to think about today are the four thoughts which aided Paul in his ministry. As we look there in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 4, the four thoughts that aided Paul in his ministry. First of all, we want to look at verses number 3 and 4, and we want to understand that Paul understood the blinding of Satan. Now think about this. Paul would go and minister to those that hated him. Paul would go and tell the gospel to those that wanted to kill him. Why would he do that? And how could he do that? And what was it that enabled him to do that? It's because he knew who his audience was. And he knew that his audience was an audience that had been blinded by Satan. He knew that the people that he was speaking to, their eyes were covered, that they didn't really comprehend what was going on. And see, you go back to the mercy of God. It was the mercy that he received of the Lord that enabled him to understand who his audience was. Paul knew what he deserved. He deserved a devil's hell. But what did he receive? He received eternal life. He received conversion. He met the Lord, and the Lord changed his life. That wasn't what he deserved, but that's what he received. He received mercy. And so when he looked out at those people who wanted to kill him, when he looked out at those that wanted to destroy him, he was able to continue to minister to them because he knew, I used to be just like them. I used to have the same thoughts in my heart. I used to have the same thoughts in my mind. And I understand that the only reason they're the way they are is because Satan has blinded their eyes that they cannot see the truth. If we're going to have an evangelistic heart, just like Paul, we're going to have to understand who our audience is. And we're going to have to understand, like Paul told the Corinthians earlier, and such were some of you, but you were washed. The people that are in the world, they don't necessarily want to hear about Jesus. They don't necessarily want to hear about their sins, but I want to ask you this. Before you were saved, did you? Before you were saved, did you want somebody to come and tell you about Jesus? Did you want somebody to come and tell you that you were a sinner? Did you want somebody to point out the sin that you had in your life? You tell them, now you're doing that sin. You're doing that, and that's wrong. Did you want somebody to tell you those things? No. Understand who your audience is. Understand your audience has their eyes blinded by Satan that they cannot see the truth. They don't understand. Paul understood this. Ephesians 6:1-2 says, or 6:12 says, for we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in high places. Paul understood that if he went out in the world and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul understood that if he went out and talked to people, he understood that they were blinded by Satan and that the battle that he had was a spiritual battle and that it was wrestling against principalities, against powers. Satan will blind the minds of the lost and the hearts of believers. Do you understand that? Do we know why the Word of God is ineffective in many people's lives today? And even people who've said they're trusting Jesus? Because Satan has blinded their minds. He's blinded their eyes. He has caused them to close off their heart that he cannot receive the truth. He has caused them to no longer desire the things of God. He has blinded their minds. If we're truly going to have an evangelistic heart, we need to understand that Satan is a real force in our world, and he's out there blinding the hearts of people today. We don't need to look at them and have such difficult feelings towards them because of who they are or because of what they've done. Look beyond their circumstances. Look beyond their attitudes. Look beyond their actions and see they're a sinner that's lost, who has their mind blinded by Satan. It's why we should be encouraged not to entangle ourselves with the cares of this life. Because the cares of this life will blind our eyes to the things of God. You see, even believers have their eyes blinded to the things of God. And the cares of this world are what blind our eyes to the truth. We get so involved with the cares of the world that we lose sight of the work of the Lord. We lose sight of the ministry of Jesus. We lose sight of what being a church is really all about. What did Jesus come for? To seek and to save that was lost. What did Jesus say I want you to do? I want you to go out and make disciples. And we get so caught up with all the stuff that's going on in the world, the cares of this world, that we lose sight of our real goal and our real objective is to reach the lost and to make disciples blinded our eyes and blinded our minds. Remember this. Satan will use any means necessary to hinder the gospel. Satan will use any means necessary to hinder the gospel, even if he has to blind our own eyes to the reality of what life is all about. So Paul said, as he looked out, he recognized that Satan had blinded their minds, blinded their eyes. But I want you to notice something else Paul did. Verse number 5 says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Paul was careful not to preach himself. Now, I want you to listen closely here. We can get so caught up in our own selves. We can get so caught up in our abilities or our inabilities. We get so caught up in what we're doing. Well, we need to do this and we need to do that and we need to do these other things. And how come we don't do this anymore? And why don't we do that anymore? And we got to do this and we got to do that and we got to do these other things. And if we were doing more of this, then the Lord might save more people. And because we're not doing that, the Lord's not saving people. We get so caught up in ourselves that we forget Christ. We forget that it's not about us. It's about Christ. My ability is going to save no one. Your ability is going to save no one. My inability is not going to hinder one person from receiving the gospel. We get so caught up in ourselves that we forget to preach Jesus. We forget that it's all about Jesus, that what we really need to do is focus on Jesus. See, our focus turns to men. Our focus turns to what we're doing, what we can do, and how we should do this, and how we should do that. And our focus is turned away from Christ. Let's remember, it is the Christ who is the Savior. It is Christ who will guarantee that not one of these little ones should perish. Paul was careful not to preach himself. Paul was careful not to put too much into his ability. Paul preached Christ. To some, stumbling block. To others, foolishness. But to those who are called, it is the power of God. And so when we go out into the world and we begin to tell people about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, to some people it's going to be foolishness. To some people it's going to be a stumbling block. But to those that are called, it's going to be the power of God and salvation. And we need to understand that. Paul knew that about his ministry. He knew the blinding of Satan. He knew how that Satan would manipulate people's minds. But Paul wanted to preach Christ. So the first thing we understand is Paul understood the blinding of Satan. The second thing we understand is Paul understood the blessings of servanthood. Verse number 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake." Paul was glad to be the servant of others. Paul said, "I was glad to spend and to be spent for you." Paul said, "I'm glad to spend and to be spent for you." Why did Paul have that desire? Why was Paul willing to be the servant of others? It's because he knew the ministry the Lord had given him. He knew the calling that God had placed upon his life. And he knew that by taking the gospel to the world, that's how the Lord was going to use that gospel. And so he was willing to serve others because he loved them. Because he wanted to see God's blessings upon their lives. And this is what servanthood is. It's a willingness to live your life for others. To bless others. That's what being a servant is. Listen, the Lord is going to bless those who are willing to live for others. So Paul understood the blessing of servanthood. That's one of the things that maybe is missing a little bit in our lives today. Servanthood. A desire to live for others. But Paul, in order to have a servant's heart, in order to have an evangelistic heart, Paul was willing to serve others. The next thing we understand about Paul is that Paul could see the brightness shining. in verse number 6. He says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." God created light. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And what happens to darkness when light arrives? The darkness has to flee. Here's what Paul knew. Paul knew that God had created the light. "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts." Here's what Paul knew. The brightness of God was shining in his heart. The light of God was shining in his life. And this light gave the knowledge of the glory of Jesus Christ. Paul knew the difference that the light had made in his life. And when the light came into his life, the darkness had to flee. Why do people continue to live in darkness? Because there is no light. People continue to live in darkness because there is no light. When the light comes into the heart, the darkness is going to flee, and the people are going to walk in the light as He is in the light. Because when Jesus comes, He brings light, and the brightness shines in our life, and the brightness that shines in our life gives knowledge of the glory of Jesus Christ, and we begin to live for Jesus. Here's what Paul desired. Paul desired to share that light. Remember, I believe it was on Wednesday night, I talked about giving a life that the world can't give. I talked about the hope that we have in Christ Jesus is a hope that the world doesn't know and a hope that the world doesn't understand. What we need to share with the world is the light that is in us. The light that God has given us, how He has shined in our heart, and the hope and the joy that He has given us, and the hope of eternal life. And when we share the light that is in us, it's going to point others to the glory of Jesus Christ. Show the light. Understand this. There's going to be no real change in someone's life unless the light of Christ fills that heart. There's going to be no change in life until the light of Christ shines inside of that heart. Why is people continuing to walk the way that they once walked? It's because the light is not there. The light is not there. So Paul understood the brightness shining in his life, and he wanted to share that brightness with others. Fourthly, Paul saw the beautiful substance. The beautiful substance. Verse 7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." You know, I don't normally see my earthen vessel as a treasure. Paul considered the weakness of his flesh a blessing. I don't normally see the weakness of my flesh as a blessing. Even this morning, I think about all of the things that, man, I need to do this, and I need to do that, and I forgot to do this, and I forgot to do that. And even sitting there this morning, I'm like, I can't do it all, I might as well just quit. So many things to do. So many things to keep track of. You just can't keep track of them all. I can't do it. Something falls through the cracks. It just, there's too much to handle. But I remembered my message. Paul said, "But we see this treasure in earthen vessels." Listen to what he said. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Paul considered the weakness of his flesh a blessing so the power would be of God and not of Paul. And the same thing is true for us. The beauty of the substance of our life is that we can't perform the works of the ministry. We'll never do everything perfectly. We'll never be All that in a bag of chips. But it's so that the power may be of God and not of us. See, if we have it all figured out and we have this glorious ability and we're the best thing since sliced bread, and you know, all of a sudden we begin to think that we're all that. We begin to think that the church rises and falls on our ability, and boy, the church is what it is because of me. Boy, we puff our chest out and we say, the excellency is of us. Who needs God? Paul was glad to say that he knew that his flesh was weak, so that the power would be of God and not of him. Here's the same thing we need to understand. Are we going to be able to do everything perfectly? No. But let's depend upon the power of God. Let's be faithful and willing to be used of God. And when we are faithful and willing to be used of God, and just simply say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. Lord, help me to be what you want me to be. Help me to walk the way you want me to walk. And we depend upon the power of God. Then who gets the glory? God gets the glory. And he moves and he works and he brings the sheep into the fold. Think about all the examples in the Bible where God used a hopeless situation to bring him glory. Think about him paring down Gideon's army. Think about him turning water into wine. Think about him using the dirty River Jordan to bring healing to someone's life. And we can go on and on. Think about those 12 ordinary men. Remember, y'all's not learned. You're just fishermen. You're just a tax collector. You're just, you know, you guys are nobody. Jesus took the nobodies of society and turned them into his apostles. See, Paul considered his earthen vessel to be a treasure. His infirmity in the flesh was really a blessing. What we need to be today is to make his will our will, to be willing to be used by him. Remember this also. Paul desired for the Lord to remove his infirmity in the flesh. His thinking was, Lord, if you would remove this infirmity in the flesh, then I can do more work for you. And God says, no, Paul, I like you just the way you are. Because, see, if Paul didn't have that infirmity in the flesh, if he didn't have that messenger of Satan to buffet him, Paul might begin to get proud of who Paul had become. Paul might have gotten proud of his ability to, I'm a missionary to the Gentiles. Woo-hoo! Look at Paul. Look at all them people that I've seen saved, and look at all this ministry I do, and boy, look at what I do, and look at all those other guys down there. They don't do nothing. They ain't like me. If they'd be more like me, then they'd be greater servants of God. And look, you know, Paul, look at Paul. Paul had an infirmity in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, to keep him humble. Why? So the excellency would be of the power of God and not of Paul. Paul considered his earthen vessel a blessing. He considered it a treasure. We have this treasure. A treasure in an earthly vessel. Here's what you need to do. Treasure who you are. Treasure who God made you to be. Don't try to be someone else. Just treasure who you are. Treasure the place where God has put you. Treasure the environment that God has placed you in. And understand, the place you live is the ministry that God has given you. And treasure that. It's not going to be the ministry of Billy Graham. It's not going to be the ministry of whoever you want to say, whoever you might admire, whoever you might think is a great servant of God. That's not your place. Your place is exactly where God puts you. Treasure that place. We have this treasure in this earthen vessel. You know, I lived so much of my life wishing that I was someone else. Wishing that I could do things like so many other people could do. Why can't I do this and why can't I do that? And why couldn't my dad have that job? And why couldn't my, you know, all of these things? I lived my life really despising who I was. Still do that at times. But when we understand we're exactly who God made us to be, and we begin to treasure who we are, and just say, Lord, I don't have much, but what I have is yours. Use it, Lord, for your honor and your glory. Send me where you want me to go. Let me speak to whom you want me to speak. Lord, help me do your will. See this treasure that we have in this earthen vessel. Paul considered his infirmity in flesh a blessing. And that's what gave him an evangelist's heart. So what can we do to do God's work today? Understand mercy. Understand salvation is because of mercy. It's not of what you have deserved. It's not because of what you have earned. It's all because God said, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. I'm giving you mercy. If we understand how merciful God was given, what God was to us, we will have an evangelistic heart. Because we will be able to say, yet by the grace of God, there go I. There's not a person out there, when you understand mercy, that has sinned far greater or out-sinned God. Understand mercy. Willingly submit yourself to God. Just say, Lord, it's yours. Treasure your earthen vessel. And remember, the message is about Christ. Christ is the one that changes lives. Not our ministry. Not our ability. Not our inability. Christ. 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 Then go and make disciples. Remember, Christ is the only real agent of change. Today, does your life need change? Have you been blinded by Satan? Have you been blinded by Satan to become entangled with the things of the world? The things of the world, you give so much time to the things of the world that you can't think about the things of God at all. Or you rarely think about the things of God. You need a change in your life. You need to begin to follow Christ. Some of you, Satan has blinded your mind so much that you cannot see the gospel. That you don't even understand that Christ is the only hope of eternal life. Today, you need to trust Christ. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer to all that's going wrong in your life. To all the problems that you're facing. To all the heartaches and all the trials. Christ is the answer. The only true change is going to come when Christ comes into your life. All your circumstances and all your situations only change when Christ arrives. When He brings the light, the answer today is Christ. So how are we going to have an evangelistic heart? Recognize the ministry and the mercy. We're going to understand that Satan has blinded our minds. We're going to remember the blessings of servanthood. We're going to see the brightness shining in our lives. And we're going to see the beautiful substance. And then we can have an evangelistic heart. Let's stand together for a word of prayer.